Ready to order, and pleased to be here to chair my first Judiciary Committee hearing. We are lacking one member, I believe, but we do have a quorum, so will the clerk call the roll, please?
Evans?
Here.
Evans here. Harmon?
Here.
Harmon here. Blakeslee? Corbett?
Here.
Corbett here. Leto?
All right, I'm sure that the remaining committee members will be joining us shortly, as will the other author, Mr. Simidian. So we have an agenda that starts with the adoption of the committee rules. So is there any discussion, questions, concerns by the committee members? All right, we have a motion to adopt the committee rules. Call.
Evans?
Aye.
Evans, aye. Harmon?
Aye.
Harmon, aye. Blakeslee? Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Leto?
All right, that will be placed on call. So we have two items on consent, and we have two items to be presented. Let's take the items on consent first and get that taken care of. One is SB number 279, Mr. Emerson, and the second one is a committee bill, SB 731, as amended. So those are on consent. I have a motion. Thank you.
Evans?
Aye.
Evans, aye. Harmon?
Aye.
Harmon, aye. Blakeslee? Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Leto?
Aye.
Leto, aye.
Mr. Leto is now here, so we have a full committee. Mr. Blakeslee will be absent today. All right, Ms. Corbett, you are up first with SB number 405.
Proceed. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 405 is a bill that deals with the conversion of SJOs, or subordinate judicial officer positions. This is an issue this committee knows a lot about, as there have been bills in previous sessions. Senate Bill 405 authorizes the Judicial Council to convert up to an additional 10 subordinate judicial officer positions to judgeships in the 2011-2012 fiscal year. Judges converted from subordinate judicial officers will be tasked with family law or juvenile law assignment previously presided over by a subordinate judicial officer. While the cases coming before the judicial branch have increased as a result of population growth, trial court judgeships have not kept pace with that demand. Authorized trial court judgeships have grown by 8.5%, while the population of California has grown by more than 33%. Family law and juvenile law cases are among the court's most sensitive and often most complex cases. Indeed, the family law section of the state of California is in support of this bill. It's been estimated that SJOs spend an average of 55% of their time working as temporary judges now, and in larger courts, the number is closer to 75 to 80% of their time. In practice, many SJOs are de facto judges. The bill is similar to an assembly bill from last year, AB 2763, by the Assembly Judiciary Committee, and there is no opposition to this bill. I have with me Donna Herskowitz with the Judicial Council to testify in support.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Donna Herskowitz on behalf of the Judicial Council, are sponsors of this measure. Importantly, as Senator Corbett mentioned, last year's AB 2763 adopted the authority for the Judicial Council to convert an additional 10 subordinate judicial officer positions every year, on top of the 16 that the Council is authorized to convert now, up to a total of 162 positions. The legislation that was enacted last year required the legislature annually to ratify the authority of the Judicial Council to convert those additional 10 positions. This bill will adopt that ratification for the conversion of those 10 additional positions for fiscal year 2011-2012.
Any other witnesses in support? Any opposition? All right, any questions, comments by members?
I do have a question.
Mr. Leto.
Has there already been a time when the legislature did not ratify?
Well, this particular bill, this particular additional 10 conversions, this will be the first year of that bill. The 16 conversions that the legislature ratifies every year has been done every year since the enactment as part of the Budget Act.
So this has to be outside the budget?
And this, for these additional 10, it has to be done outside the Budget Act. This year's budget bill, SB 69, did include the authorization for those 16 conversions for 2011-2012. This would allow, through this bill, the additional 10 for those family and juvenile law positions.
Great. Well, we have a motion on the floor. Call the roll.
The motion is due. Pass to Senate Appropriations Committee. Evans?
Aye.
Evans, aye. Harmon?
No.
Harmon, no. Blakeslee? Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Leno? Leno, aye.
All right, 3-1, the bill is out.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members.
Senator Simidian, SB number 24, item 1 on our agenda. Good afternoon again.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is the fourth effort at moving a very modest bill forward. All four members of the committee who are here today have seen the bill before. All four members have voted for the bill before. There is no opposition to the bill. Why am I here for a fourth time, you might ask? This is a an update to California's 2002 data breach notification law. California led the way on this effort. 40 plus other states followed. In the 8 years since the measure was passed, we've learned some things, and one of the things we've learned is that both for consumers who receive data breach notification notices and for businesses who are obliged to send them, it would be helpful to have a little more clarity about what is actually supposed to be in such a notice. Many of the notices that go out are perfectly good, do a nice job, but a significant minority of them do not. So the goal is that if we're trying to help consumers protect themselves after their data has been compromised, could we make sure that there's some basic information they get that's well described in the analysis? For businesses who historically have appreciated the flexibility that the measure provides, the goal is to continue to allow them to have the flexibility, but to be able to ask and answer the question, so what is it I'm supposed to do to make sure I've complied? And by providing this simple information, we hope that it'll be easier for them. Why are we here the fourth time? In 2008, then Assemblymember Jones required as a condition of moving the bill through his Assembly Judiciary Committee or Assembly Committee that our bill on this issue be contingent with the passage of his bill on the issue. He was working on a larger set of issues. We worried then that that would mean a veto because the governor didn't look like he was inclined to sign the Jones bill. Sure enough, the issue got vetoed in 2008. In 2009, we were able to keep the bill separate, work through all the issues, which is why there's no opposition to the bill. Worked closely with the governor's office, got very positive feedback from the governor's staff, and 2 weeks before the bill went to the governor's office, the staff changed, and we thought we were fine, and it turned out we weren't. So in 2010, went back to the governor's office and said, look, don't want to put this in front of you again if it doesn't appeal to the governor, but it looks like we just sort of got caught up in the machinery. The governor's legislative staff said, we understand, go ahead, put the bill back in the process. We put the bill back in the process, still with no opposition, and got a veto again, and the word that came back was, sorry, you will recall that the governor was dealing with a lot of bills at the last minute at the end of the 2010 session. And his view on the fly was, I don't know why I'd sign it now. I vetoed it twice before, and apparently I had no advocate in the room to make the case. So I'm hoping that with a fresh set of eyes, no opposition, that we can provide this update helpful to both consumers and businesses. Respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Witnesses in support.
And yes, I will take technical amendments as recommended by your staff on page 9, comment number 7.
Thank you. I meant to ask that.
Lenny Goldberg, Privacy Rights Clearinghouse. This really does provide consumers who are concerned about identity theft with information that's clear, information that they can act on. When they were getting these breach notices, there were times where people would say, I don't know what this means. This really helps it. I was involved in some of the discussions with the various interests that eliminated all the opposition, and I think this is clear, it's straightforward, it helps consumers for sure. I can't speak for the businesses, but I believe they felt it helps give that clarity too. So we support.
Thank you. Next witness.
Okay. Good
Good afternoon, Richard Holliber, Consumer Federation of California. We're here in support. It's a good bill that deserves a signature, helps consumers have useful information so they understand those notices and can take steps to prevent identity theft.
I'm Valerie Small Navarro with the American Civil Liberties Union in strong support. Thank you.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition to the bill? Questions, comments from committee members? Mr. Leno?
And a question, thank you. Appreciate your recounting recent history, Senator Simidian. And with that reminder, we'll take the governor's recent veto message, former governor's recent veto message, as such, claiming that there is no additional benefit to consumers. I think that's pretty inaccurate on its face. But there's also the additional comment that questioned the benefit of the Attorney General being the repository of the breach notices if there's no requirement for the Attorney General to do anything with that repository.
Had this conversation with members of the governor's staff on a couple of occasions, and as I say, we sort of got churned up in the, we're part of the mulch, I get it. It's, you know, if it were a higher profile bill. The benefit for having this information go somewhere, and at one point we had said, how about the state's privacy officer? And it was industry, actually, that asked us to go to the Attorney General's office. For whatever reason, can't speak for them, they felt more comfortable having the information go there. But the two benefits are, from a law enforcement standpoint, if you're trying to figure out what's the nature and scope of the problem, in other words, if we've got people who are hacking this information, who are engaging in identity theft, having no central repository means you never get your arms around how big is the problem and where is the problem. Is it targeted at particular industries? Is it going towards credit card folks? Is it going towards retailers? So the notion was, let's have that information there, and since it's going to be received electronically, it's there for someone to look at if and when they choose to look at it. By the same token, the notion was, if we have it all in one place, then that information is also available to the legislature. You know, whatever your politics are, you'd like to think that the legislature legislates from a fact base, a knowledge base of the nature and scope of the problem. Going forward, 2, 5, 10, or 20 years from now, if the legislature is ever going to take action in this area, it'd be nice to be able to say, well, what is the nature and scope of the problem? Have that information there. Right now, all we've got is anecdotal evidence and newspaper stories, frankly, to go on as we assess the nature and scope of the problem.
Very sensible. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Would you like to close? We have a motion on the floor.
Ask for an aye vote.
Thank you very much. All right. Senator Corbett has moved the bill, and this goes to appropriations. Okay. Call the roll.
The motion is due. Pass as amended to Senate Appropriations. Evans?
Aye.
Evans, aye. Harmon?
Aye.
Harmon, aye. Blakeslee? Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The bill is out.
Thank you, Tom.
Good bill.
Senator Corbett has an announcement.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just wanted to welcome some of the people that are in our audience today. I noticed that Carondelet High School is visiting the Capitol today and is seeing how bills become laws. So thank you for being here today to follow the process. I'll be interested in hearing your impressions a little bit later. Thank you for being here. Welcome.
And welcome. It's great to have you here. It's always good to have students watching the whole process. It's an interesting one. Well, members, that concludes the business before us today. We've already adopted. The adoption of the committee rules is on call. Will you call the members that were absent previous?
Blakeslee? Leno? Leno, aye.
All right, that's out. Then now our business is concluded. Thank you very much. It's been an exciting hearing. Thanks.